Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the 5 Minute Major Podcast of St. Louis. It's episode 39. We're coming at you with a lot of things today. It might feel like a whirlwind. Just stick with us and trust us. Don't trust us. Just have the free will in this life like we do. And we're going to say some crazy stuff. So we hope you like it. Josh and I are happy to be back. We were going to record earlier in the week and just work and life, as we always say, kind of got in the way. So we're back on a Sunday recording. If I look behind me, it's 4-1 Edmonton in game 3 right now. So good for them.
No. Unreal. I hate it.
Skinner's playing unreal. Weird.
Also, dislike that with a burning passion, but
Let's hop right into it. I wanted to mention these games. We got some backlash on Twitter for this Carolina Florida game. I put out a tweet replying to the Chiklis tweet saying, you know, Blake tries to, he gets leveled, head into the boards, bleeding. It sucks. He's not hurt badly, though, luckily, which is great. We never want players to get hurt like that. Like, that's horrible to see. You know what I mean? Yeah. The play is so 50-50, man. Blake has his numbers to the play, like his back to the ice, for way too long. He tries to make a play in almost like toe picks to like kind of do a little hip swivel or like dodge a hit or move the other way with the puck. His stick gets lifted. It's a hook. I don't know how that does anything to your lower body. I mean, maybe it does. I don't play hockey, so I don't know. But at the end of the day, Luostarinen did a pirouette away from Blake, and he honestly didn't even really hit him too hard. It was almost like a shoulder into the back, which is never good. But if Blake doesn't try to stop 4 feet away from the boards, he doesn't go head first. It goes both ways. You can't, you know, run a dude, right? No. It's dangerous. I understand that. It was a 5 minute major in a game misconduct. He took it like a champ. Canes didn't do anything with the power play.
Yeah.
That's on them. Blake, he needs to be more aware as a young player to like absorb the hit.
I think that's what I mean? We talked about that because I think
it's hard though when the puck or the game's so fast. I understand people being upset, thinking like we're stupid for saying what we said, but like if you really think about it, an NHL caliber player needs to be able to absorb a hit rather than duck and kind of take the worst of it. Even when the guy's not even trying to hit him in the numbers, like he spun off the hit and it ended badly and it sucks, but luckily he's okay. That's all that matters, is he's okay.
That's the thing. Like, we're trying to be a neutral party of this. Like, I get if you're a Carolina fan, and like if it would have been a Blues players or like we would have been up in arms saying this was dirty, this was terrible, this, like, I get that. And we get that
initially, and then usually we try to take a step back and see it. I've watched the video so many times now, like I'm sticking with my guns on it.
And that's the thing. And I think we talked about this. This type of hit seems to be a continuing issue in the NHL.
Yeah. I saw a lot of people saying that.
A continuous thing where players are putting themselves in these positions. And I think it's the change of the style of play.
Yeah.
Old style hockey, these hits were allowed and guys knew they could get wrecked for it. In the modern style hockey, it's more edge work. I get that. It's more precision. It's more skill. It's more speed. But guys seem to forget about protecting themselves in ways.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's our system of hockey from youth up, because I know as kids, like, there's no hits from behind there. Like, you grow up in a system where you're so protected, and you have to do that in youth hockey because we're trying to protect young athletes who are still growing and maturing. This is professional hockey, too. I get we're still trying to protect them. But the responsibility is still to the defenseless player. Like, you have to find a way to either brace yourself, get yourself to the boards. Jake Neighbors does this all the time where he gets in the corner and he gets hit like this a bunch, but he braces himself. And he's conscientious of where he is on the ice. And that, it's just, it's playoff hockey, like you said. Like, everyone's finishing hits, no matter what. Like, the Blues-Winnipeg series, it would have been the exact same thing. Like, it would have been all up in arms, and it probably would have been a Blues player hitting a Winnipeg Jets player, and we would have been labeled a dirty team like we always are.
Of course.
But it's because we finish hits. And that's in blue collar hockey. Like,
I mean,
Florida plays blue collar hockey. They're going to, if you leave yourself an opportunity where you can get hit, you're going to get hit.
Yeah. And the last thing I want to say about it is, like, I understand if you have a personal issue with the Panthers, you're a Maple Leafs, Oilers, whatever fan. Like, I understand you could be upset. Like, I would be too. If you are a true hockey fan, if you love watching hockey, you should enjoy every second of the Panthers. Like, even if I tried to hate them,
yeah.
Like, I don't like some guys on their team, sure. That doesn't mean they aren't the most incredible hockey team I've seen since the past 5 years. I mean, they are so good. It's incredible.
And I think if they go on to win this series, which I think
dynasty,
we're talking dynasty. They're going to be in the Chicago Blackhawks of the mid-2000s, the Montreal Canadian era. It's like
the recent Tampa Bay Lightning.
The Tampa Bay Lightning, the Pittsburgh Penguins of the 2000s too, the early 2000s. And from top to bottom, they're run perfect.
And yeah, they're GM, unbelievable. Oh my gosh,
their GM is
genius. He's
genius.
He's done it 2 years in a row now where at the deadline, he goes out and gets wily veterans who know how to play playoff hockey, and they go and win. They did it with Okposo last year. Now they're doing it with Brad Marchand.
Yeah. And this is the
crazy part. And Boston willingly traded him.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Which, I mean, they're getting a first-round pick out of it now because, I mean, they're going to. But
yeah, but it's late.
A late first-round pick. And to Florida, whatever, you still have young talent that's coming up. You are still getting guys like Amicola that you signed for bargain bin who's turned into a top four defenseman.
Yeah,
Forsling it's crazy. Is the same way. And then you've made those big deals to get a Tkachuk, to get a Reinhardt, and then you already had a Barkov and an Ekblad already in place from you drafting well.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, like, we're really happy that Blake's not hurt badly. Yeah. Like, he was gushing a little bit, but no, like, conky or anything that we know about, so that's good. And Lustorainen served his penalty. Like, there it is. You didn't convert on the power play. You, the Carolina fans, they need to be just mad at their team.
And here's the thing.
And I understand being mad at the danger of the hit, right?
Yeah.
To me, it wasn't even a hit. It's a 50-50 hockey play gone wrong. And it is what it is. So,
Carolina has got to look at themselves in the mirror. Like, this hit is not defining the series. They've had a bad series. And I don't know.
They've done it the past four times they've made it to the conference finals. Bad series.
They can't
play against good playoff hockey teams that are physical and bully you around because they're soft.
Yeah. And their top players are
be as blunt as possible.
Are not producing. You need more from Seth Jarvis. You need more from Sebastian Aho.
Instead of laying, in my opinion, his little knee-on-knee hip check on Reinhardt was dirty.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reckless play. It wouldn't have been reckless if he would have been chest-to-chest facing the dude laying a good shoulder hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He went low and destroyed Reinhardt's knee, who's not playing. So either way, it's fine. The series is over. We'll leave it at that. Florida's going to win next game. I can't see Carolina coming out and not getting swept again.
Yep. Also, breaking news. The Tage Thompson delivers Team USA to its first ice hockey world championship since 1933.
Was it like a 1-0 overtime game?
I don't know the exact score.
I know it was 0-0 at the end of the first. So good for the Swiss, by the way. Good for them. Good little run for them, and good for the USA, baby. They
needed that real bad.
We're killing it in international hockey right now, honestly.
It's
compared to Canada, they're kind of
Canada is falling off a little bit. Is dealing with some substantial issues related to poor decisions on management of issues.
Also, they have some of the best players in the world are still playing playoff hockey too. So. You gotta say that too.
1-0 win, baby, in overtime.
Good for Tage, future blue, former blue, future blue.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too.
let's go to Edmonton Dallas real quick. 1-1 series. It is on a commercial, so I can't. Edmonton should probably hold on to win game three here to make it 2-1. They look really good.
They will go 7.
I think it's 6 or 7. I think Edmonton somehow pulls this off again, and we get a rematch against Florida, and it's going to be nasty, and it's going 7 again.
Yep.
And who knows? Canada might finally get the cup back.
No.
They're not going to.
No one's beating Florida.
I'm so confident in the Panthers. Like, I'm almost becoming a fan of them. Like, I can't even be mad.
That's who I predicted at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I had Dallas, so I'm still technically okay. But I think
also had the Devils there, too.
Well, yeah, that was before the whole team got hurt. So, but anyways, yeah, that's a great series. It should go 6 or 7. The Nurse slash on hints before we move on to the crazy stuff. That was, I think it was a little intent there. I don't know about meaning to like break his foot or whatever happened.
I mean,
Hintz went out there to see if he could play and then said, I can't play. Yeah. So I don't know. Edmonton's fans think Dallas players are flopping around, which they've been doing that for years. We know 2019.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Nurse is kind of like sneaky dirty. He kind of makes those. He's like a Bennett almost. I mean, he makes those plays all the time.
Suter does the same crap though. Suter did that all year, and Suter did it in the playoffs with cross-checking the crap out of guys in the ribs.
It's a veteran type of play. Nurse has really come into his own.
I'm really
proud of him.
He's playing up to his contract finally.
Yeah, a little bit.
Also, you're getting some top play from some guys. Wallman's playing great. Nurse is playing great. Like, Ekholm should be back. Like, here's the thing. It was a dirty play. But also, like, you could have hit him in the shin pad. It would have hurt, but it probably – but he hit him on the top of the foot where there is zero padding, which is the one thing where you're just like
– Yeah.
Also, I love Roope Hintz. That's my other thing. The guy's got grit.
He's a beast.
He's a beast. So, for me, pulling for Dallas in this series, as much as I hate doing that, like, not great for them, but they have depth.
But their superstars aren't performing right now. Johnson's not doing anything. Rantanen's not doing anything. It's weird. They need to start scoring for them to even have a chance. It might be 5 or 6 Edmonton. So, I mean, people are going to say that we're stupid for saying that was dirty and the Luostarinen quote unquote hit wasn't. I mean, Nurse literally took a baseball bat swing at this guy's foot. I mean, unfortunately, it hit him on the wrong spot. I mean, you hit him in the shin pad. We're not talking about it. So, Blake didn't even get hurt. I mean, like, long-term hurt. So, I don't know. Anyways, they're both dangerous plays. They both ended in a bad way. Everything's fine. We're watching great playoff hockey. Let's move on. Okay, so Josh and I are going to talk about the bulk of this podcast, which is basically like crazy draft picture for the Blues, any trades, any free agents, any restricted free agents we can offer sheet, any, you know, crazy theories that we've come up with, just texting each other. Like, so you guys are going to hear some crazy stuff. We're going to try and keep it as orderly as possible. So we like to go on our tangents, which you probably just noticed, but stick with us and when we post about this stuff, comment if we suck, if you think we're crazy, comment your crazy stuff. Like,
we
want to hear about it, and we don't want to feel like we're alone on this, because I know everyone's got their thoughts right now. So,
and it's all going to be metaphorical stuff, but I think there's some truth to some options here.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start? The picture is you're going to have to pay to get stuff. But
true.
We'll kind of start off. So the Blues are not in a great situation with draft picks. I'll start with there. So we have the 19th overall pick this year. We don't have a pick until the 5th round and then in the 6th round. So you have 3 draft picks in this draft, which, looking at this draft, I plan on doing a draft day kind of coverage thing where I lead up to what the Blues could draft, what's kind of there. There's not a whole lot to pick. There's no generational talent. So whatever.
Nothing that we know about, right?
Nothing that we know about right now. And a lot of scouts are just saying it's a decent draft. It's a good depth draft.
Yeah.
So 2025, you're kind of shot with only 3 picks. 2026, you start to get a little bit of your capital back. You got a first, a third, a fourth, 2 fifths, a sixth, and a seventh. And then that next year, you got a first, a third, 2 fourths, a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh. We have no second round draft picks for the next 3 years. Partially inclined to the offer sheets, having to trade another second to get our draft pick back from Pittsburgh. So very interested to see what we'll draft. But I think the overall consensus, at least I have going into this draft, you have to draft in the first round another defensive prospect. Your defensive prospect pool is still very light, in my opinion. And I think the Athletic right now, just kind of to give you a shout out here of who they have as picking. Sashka Boumediene. He's a 6'2 defender, very good puck mover. He's only 175 pounds, plays for Boston University.
Okay.
So that's who they have as predicting. I like the idea of a pick that they have predicted later in the draft of Blake Fiddler going 21st overall. He's a right-handed shot defenseman. He's 6'4", 209 pounds.
That's more like it.
Was one of the most reliable defenders for Team USA and lays his body on people. So that's who I would like us to see draft. If guys fall, there's some guys up in the top that, you know, if teams don't take flyers on, I think there's some potential in. But
yep,
we will hit more on the drafts later. The big thing is we'll run through the Blues, what they got to re-sign. I think there's only four realistic people I think the Blues bring back out of all their free agents, and they let some people walk. So UFAs, you have Fox and Suter, and then RFAs, Hofer and Nikita Alexandrov. Alexandrov's probably that bubble player. But Fox, I believe we are bringing back, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be a good idea. He was unreal.
Yeah. Unreal for you in the playoffs, average playoff in the regular
player.
Season. Yeah.
Just about to tell you, he's a great playoff player, and he wins faceoffs, and I love faceoff winning centermen. So you have 2x2.5 or 3x3. I'd rather just do the 2x2.5.
Yeah.
He's getting up there. We also don't want to pay a fourth liner too much money. We're already paying Sonny, like, I think, too much. We'll see what Fox is willing to do. I mean, I think a lot of teams could use him, so he'll probably be getting a lot of offers.
The one thing I will say, the Blues put an article out about wanting him back and the interest there, and I haven't seen us put an article on the website in a long time talking about a player that you would like to see back and us not re-sign him.
Interesting. Yeah, that's... I don't remember that, but
I
like
that. That might be my tinfoil hat there, but yeah. I really think that's a realistic option.
As for Ryan Suter, old, still had a heck of a season for a 40-year-old man. Yeah. I mean, unbelievable.
It's up to him.
Yeah. If he retires, great. Retires a Blue. If he doesn't, 1 year for $1 million.
$1 million with all bonus incentives like they did this year again.
Yeah, something like that.
I think he gets more than the $900,000 or whatever the league minimum is. But,
yeah. I mean, he said he's got to talk to the wife or whatever. And
but it's going to come down to, if you bring him back, that defensive group is full again.
Yeah, I mean, he's
got a Kessel and a Tucker and a Letty and a Falk and a Broberg and a Parayko. Like, you got a lot to decide there.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think letting him make the decision, like being like, all right, if you want to play, we'll give you $1 million. You know?
Yeah.
And we might not play you all the time. So
if not, I think he is hired by the Blues organization.
Yeah. It'd be kind of cool.
I think he's a guy that's hired as a development coach or a scout or just something, and he sticks around.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So
restricted free agents, you mentioned them, Hofer and Alexandrov. Tell me what you think Hofer should get.
So I believe Hofer will be offer sheeted.
Okay.
I think he is one of the top RFA goalies out there.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to, you're in a weird spot. It's a bridge deal area for him. Because I don't think you're giving him the full range yet, even though I think he's close to being able to be your starter every day. I have it at 2x2.5. I think it could be 2x3. If I'm being honest, to retain him, I think a team may come in and try to pay him. It's a little weird. We haven't signed him yet. You extended Colton Ellis. You have Will Cranley, and then Zarankov is apparently heading back to the KHL. From the sounds of it, I don't think Colton Ellis is ready to be your backup, and I don't think you can rely on Binnington to have to play a whole season. I don't think he is physically built to be the guy like a Hellebuck that plays 60 games.
Got to save him for the playoffs, right? I mean, I would not be surprised if he gets offer sheeted at all.
Yeah.
That's a good point to make. I don't mind $3 million. I think you have to keep him.
Yeah.
And if you have to keep him, you got to pay. So, and that's kind of the premise of most of this stuff. If you want to get better, you got to pay. So With the cap going up, he'll still be cheap, man, and he's going to be your starter eventually. So if you can keep him, you keep him. He's been really solid, honestly.
Yeah.
As for Alexandrov, you have him at a two-way deal for $1 million at $750K, which is, I'm okay with anything for him. I think he's a great minor league hockey player. And when he comes up, he can, you know, play some minutes. And that's all you need from a guy like that.
Yeah, he could be a guy, though, that they let walk with a lot of rumblings of a lot of players that have come over. I mean, Dzeko, Jakob Stanzel, you have Stenberg. Like, you have guys that are coming over that I was kind of surprised that we're seeing some of this youth movement already come in play. The other thing is, I think it's all going to go down to who you want getting minutes. The Blues still have some control over this.
Yeah.
But I find it hard to believe he's not a two-way.
Yeah.
I think he's a safety net. And in my opinion, I think I would have preferred him up playing over a Texier or a Joseph. That's me. I think he brought a lot to that AHL team. And I think talking with Mike Myers, he really talked about how great he's playing in this resurgence that he has. The Blues are very high up on him. That's the other thing. I find it very hard to believe that we have given up on him.
Yeah, I think he's
a prime example of someone we kind of forced to fill a role when he wasn't ready.
I mean, and that just happens. That just happens in the NHL with teams that are so bulked up. And like when we were winning, you know, we just didn't need guys. And sometimes you got to make those heartbreaker trades to get better. But I agree. I think he's a serviceable player and he can be an NHL player.
Yeah, I agree.
I really do think he plays the game the right way. Okay. These are kind of, I mean, a few of these, they should definitely go. Some of these is like rumbles and rumors. I mean, Josh and I might not agree on some of them, so we'll go through them. The obvious ones, Blues players that need to go or should go, Leddy. He's got $4 million left on 1 year, or 1 year left at $4 million.
Very serviceable defenseman.
Yeah, he's a good piece for a deep team if you need somebody. We'll get into like trades and stuff, and you'll hear his name plenty. Falk, he's got a year left at $6.5 million. I think you definitely have to get this money off, man. Unless if it's not this year, then you can't even think about attempting to try and keep this guy. Like,
no,
he needs to go. We need the money for young players.
He had spurts of like, yes, you're playing good, but then the negatives this year, you could tell he's getting older. He made some decent plays, but I think the only way you keep him, he's your third line pair. He should not be playing second line pair.
No,
he should not be quarterbacking a power play anymore. Like, I'm sorry. I think there's better options out there or internal options that I'd rather just go with. I know Armstrong said he's very happy with his top four. I get that. But in my opinion, Parayko and Cam Fowler can quarterback power plays and you run five. Or you run a whole group of just forwards for power plays.
Yeah, I mean, just let Thomas play 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And have him on the point.
Or and you could do that. You saw Bolduc and Snuggaroo were playing more minutes, and like you didn't have Holloway because Holloway was hurt. Like, you're getting guys back that are going to be healthy.
Yeah.
And I think Parayko showed he has more offensive capability, and you just got to let him go out there.
Yeah.
And
I think I don't know. I don't know why they don't trust him on the power play.
I don't know.
Maybe that's not it. Maybe they just are like, all right, this is your time to rest, big boy. Like
that, and that's the thing. I think. And if you ever listen to Chris Pronger talk, that's why he does not believe Colton Parayko is a number one defenseman for a team.
Yeah,
because he doesn't play in every situation.
On Chicklets, he literally did this.
Yeah.
He said he was a number three.
Yeah. Which, dang.
I mean, it makes sense. He was our number three when we won.
He was.
Three or four.
He was three. You had Pietrangelo was your one. Meester was a push, but kind of a two.
Yeah.
And Parayko.
So, we'll skip over this one for, we'll save it for last. I already mentioned him. So Bolduc, what a season from the kid. Really turned it around when Monty got here. I love it. He's a gritty player. He kind of has that Sam Bennett slightly dirty touch to him, as we saw with like a cross check to the back of the head in that Nashville game and stuff like that. I love it. He needs to mature. Obviously, he's so so young, but he's got a heck of a shot. He can play top 6 minutes on a bad team. Nowhere to be found in the playoffs, which sucks. Like, we really needed him to fill the Holloway void at least a little bit. Didn't at all.
And a lot of I will defend him a little bit in that regard.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying he was awful. He got stuck playing with
a Sonny and then a mixed match of a Joseph or Texier on that third pair.
Well, and this think is the about issue it.
We've they, talked about.
The 70s line was playing so good at the end of the year, and then I feel like they just got broken up and it fell apart. I think Holloway's injury really, really hurt. Like, a lot of the mental of some of the younger guys, where it's like, oh, I guess I'm not as protected right now. Like, I really need to step up. They might have pressured themselves too much. And we saw they took stupid penalties the first couple games and then figured it out a little bit, but still didn't produce points. So that'll be an interesting one. I mean, we have some trades that in the back of our head that could possibly involve him, which would be insane. And but
that's the only thing we're saying. The only reason we have him on this list of guys that could go or should go is because he's a foundational piece in any trade, I think. I think he's a lot of
NHL ready young sniper.
The debate is it Jake Neighbors or is it a Bull Duke? We both agree that Jake Neighbors is an untouchable player in this organization in the eyes of Doug Armstrong.
He is.
He is the epitome of what Doug Armstrong loves in every single hockey player, and he's not going anywhere, folks. Like, unless you're getting a true number one superstar that is going to take you to the next level and you're having to pay, and that's a Kachuk, a Pasternak, like guys like that, that he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Joseph, he's got a year at 2.95, bro.
Cannot be on this roster next year.
He's another one. Him and Falk, I think, are the two that really need to go.
Yeah.
I do love Matthew Joseph. Solid death piece player. Stanley Cup champion with Tampa Bay. Way overpaid. I don't know what Ottawa was thinking with that contract or Tampa or whoever gave it to him, but we traded for it, so we're stupid too.
For future considerations, we got him for nothing.
Anyways, solid player, great guy. Him and his brother are great people. Just he needs to be somewhere else.
Pittsburgh.
In our situation. So go play with your brother in Pittsburgh. There you go.
Yeah. Lastly, Texier. I don't know. I think the way it was a weird response to how he was felt by Jim Montgomery. It was one of those things where it's like, I want Texier to play and you're going to play Texier by Doug Armstrong. And Jim Montgomery's like, I don't really want to play him. And the man could not stay healthy or uninjured all season long. So it maybe sucked. It was a fluke of that. 1 year remaining at $2.1 million. Also, I think that, I don't know. He can play center, he can play wing, but
he's your filler.
He's your filler.
If he stays, he's scratched.
I guess he's a decent depth piece for only $2.1 million. I don't see him getting an extension. I think there's youth players that can fill that role that he's filling right now.
Yeah, I think... Heck of a French hockey player, though. One of the better ones. Just not it for us right now. I do love Texier. He actually was pretty okay in the playoffs when he did play. You know what I mean? I didn't really see anything too crazy negative, but he's just unfortunately hurt all year and didn't produce as much as we wanted. But he's a grinder, man. He'll figure it out if he goes somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to get into free agents now. So, God, we're 30 minutes in. Holy. this is a long list, man. Some of these you've obviously heard. Some of these maybe not. Big names, small names, affordable names, not affordable names. We're naming them all, so get ready. Let's start with literally the number one free agent, and that's Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are willing to go for it. I was for a little bit, I was swaying back and forth. Like, initially I was like, no way. Like, way too much money. Literally is a no-show in game sevens. But he was solid in the playoffs this year for what it was.
Had some fire, though, in that last game, though.
He wasn't even sweating.
Bro, but he was yelling at his teammates, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's his last hurrah. You know what I mean?
and that's the thing. I think, I mean, he had 102 points, which,
yeah,
that, how superstar. Often does a 102 point player hit the market? Almost never. Also, I think if you're Toronto, I guess you had to make that run, but I think you could have got a heck of a package if you would have traded him.
Yeah. The teams that are looking at him are what? Anaheim, Chicago, LA,
Carolina
maybe is in there. Utah's maybe in there. He, yeah, I'm pretty sure, wants Vegas or Florida, which everyone does.
Yeah. I don't see him going to either unless you're going to Vegas. Either. Vegas has to sell off some players, which in that regard, then maybe.
Mark Stone's gone.
I think, yes, Barbashev's gone.
No, I think it would be Mark Stone and Petrangelo. I think they would be gone, and I think they would give Mitchie his 13 or 14 to play with Eichel.
Yeah, apparently the rumor is he does not want to play in Canada anymore.
Good. I don't blame him at all.
To be on a U.S. team.
Don't blame it at all. He felt it for however many years. He's over it, man.
That's why I think he would flourish in a Carolina, a good team. Less pressure, and I think Brady Tkachuk even hit on it, or Matthew Tkachuk, like, Florida, you don't have the outside surrounding pressure. Like, yeah, you're just playing hockey.
Yeah, people took that the wrong way.
Yeah.
People really took that the wrong way.
He was not,
I was like,
hating on his own city.
He wasn't hating on anyone else either. He was just saying, like, it's great here. Like,
it's great. Like,
I don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm out here playing hockey and going to the beach the next day.
Yeah.
Jeez. So, I think Vegas is going to do it. Yeah. I think Vegas is going to be the one that actually gets him because that GM is wild.
Which, to me, does he get a similar deal to what Rantanen got in Dallas? Like a $12 million deal?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he has to look at the big picture. If he's willing to take like a $12 million deal, then that opens his window of where he can go.
Yeah,
if he wants to take $12 million, that puts the Blues in the running, in my opinion.
The
Blues can spend $12 million.
That's if we move the players that we said should or could go. And the must moves.
The must moves. The other guy we didn't hit on was Jordan Kyrou.
Oh, and I forgot about that. Yeah, sorry.
Here's the option too. If you want to try to trade for the rights, you could flip a Kyrou if you have a deal in place. This is the only way I think it is feasibly possible whatsoever to sign a Mitch Marner in St. Louis. It is trading the rights of Jordan, or trading Kyrou to Toronto for the rights of Mitch Marner before July 1st when free agency sets in and you have an extension in the books. That's the only physical way possible that happens.
Yeah,
do I think that happens? And everyone's probably going to be like, you're an idiot. Yeah, I get it. It's not going to happen, but that's the only way I think you can feasibly do that.
Never say never. That is literally the only trade that I would make. With Jordan Kyrou involved.
I don't know about that. I got some options there.
Well, I know. I mean, we've talked about it, but at this state of our conversation.
Yeah.
We're talking about getting Mitch Marner here, who's same player, but better.
Yeah.
Same player, but better. doesn't score as much, though. That's kind of like the trade-off, right? I was going
to
say,
you need a finisher then.
Yes. So it's a tough one to think about. I mean, we traded Oshie for Troy Brouwer, and Troy Brouwer is two of the most important like 2010 playoff goals in Blues history.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And Oshie won a cup. So
yeah,
both teams win, so it might be kind of a trade like that, as you mentioned a couple podcasts ago. But Mitch Marner's on the market, man. If Florida is stupid, they would get Mitch Marner, but they need to keep their team exactly the way it is. okay, next one. This one's kind of big too. Nikolai Ehlers, one of the best Denmark players to ever play the game, if not the best. He's gonna get paid. He had a heck of a year. Got hurt, came back, played pretty solid after a couple games against the Blues. I think he's definitely like an $8 million player. I don't know if the Blues would be in the running for that because he's, in my opinion, he's still not the makeup of a Blues player.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's a winger, and he's a winger that I don't think changes everything for you with a team that has so many wingers. The only way I see that is if you move multiple wingers out in hopes of getting that one player and you have the cap.
ability. Yeah, so it would be like, oh, Bull Duke's gone, or even like a Boosh somehow gets moved or something like that, where you're like, oh, now I can really go after an Ealers, you know? I don't really know any teams that are interested. I know Winnipeg's probably like, please come, please stay.
Yeah, if he takes a hometown discount, he's back there. If not, I think there's teams in like a San Jose or a Vegas as well. Like they're a Carolina. I think he would be great on a Carolina team.
Yeah.
I think he is a solid option. He's only 28.
Yeah.
I think will flourish anywhere he goes. He's a solid player. He's going to help whatever team he goes to.
Yeah, he's a solid player.
The next guy though, I'm very interested about.
This is a big one, honestly.
John Tavares. Heck of a season, 38 goals, 36 assists, 74 points. Great in the faceoff dot. Parks himself in front of the net. Still has a heck of a wrist shot. Coming off, I think, $11 million contract. He will be a free agent. The guy is a diehard Toronto fan. He grew up. There's the photos out there. The rumors are he's going to take a hometown discount to stay there, and I think Berube wants him to stay there.
Yeah.
But I think this was a guy that a lot of people have talked about that the Blues would really like. He is older. You would give him only a 2 or 3 year deal at $6 or $7 million. And he is the true number two center, can play power play, and he shows up in the playoffs for you.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it would be beneficial. I think he falls into the category of a couple of these older players that can go on short term deals that I think would definitely flourish here in St. Louis. And I think putting him with a Kyrou and a Holloway, come on.
Yeah, that's an unreal line. I agree. 2-3 year deal if it's possible. You gotta pay to win, right?
Yeah.
And Tavares, he's still so good. Yeah. He had like 38 this year, 35 or 38 goals this year, which is crazy. Seems to have been just steadily really good for his career. Superstar player. Yeah. I don't know. I'd like to think that Toronto pulls this one off.
Yeah.
Like this and Nyes are their two big players that they really, really need to keep.
I think if you let Marner go, there's no reason you can't extend Nyes and you can't get Tavares on a team friendly deal.
Exactly. Yeah. So someone had tweeted out, oh yeah, like if I was traveling or whatever, I'd just pick up the phone, call Tavares and say, here's our offer. It's 3 years at $3 million. And I was like, $3 million?
That's like a
slap. He'd probably laugh in your face for that.
It's the epitome of what Tampa did with Stamkos. It's just a slap in the face. And it's like, I gave you all of this period of time, and this is how you're going to treat me?
Yeah, and I said I want to stay. I think it's 5 or 6 at least. So
the other team I did hear as a rumbling, would he go back to the Islanders? And I think the Islanders fans would take him back with open arms.
Of course.
They could. It would help them in the quick retool turnaround.
Their retool isn't quick though. We talked about it. They're stinky. Yeah, they're stinky. They really need a lot of stuff to go their way, and they have the first overall pick. So
true.
I mean, maybe they trade it out. You never know.
Yeah. But okay. This next guy is the one that I think will spark the biggest conversation.
Yeah, it's Sam Bennett. Had his first 50-point season of his career at the age of 28. I think he had like 90 penalty minutes. His faceoffs had declined since leaving Calgary. I think he's like 45% or something like that, which is fine. Not a second line center percentage in my 25 opinion.
25 goals, 26 assists.
Yeah. Like, he's basically like a younger Shen.
Yeah.
And he's a younger Shen. You said, and we've all seen it, Blues fans, is there's one or two teams willing to pay this guy $10 million. I commented on that and said, if it's St. Louis, I'm going to be appalled and sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
$10 million for 50 points and a guy who's got a track record who could possibly get suspended at any time if he does something wrong.
Yep.
He's the perfect playoff hockey player, though. But he needs to be surrounded with other players like him. And that's why Florida works so well. Him and Matthew Tkachuk can run around with their chickens with their head cut off and get away with things because they play just dirty enough.
Yep.
And they don't get calls and they're perfect playoff hockey players. I think Sam Bennett's a $6.5-7 million player. And I think if he's willing to take anything from 8 or less, you can make the deal.
Yeah. And this is the thing, like We're not saying if the Blues sign him, we're going to be just be like, this was the worst move. But if they get him for the right price, yeah, it's going to help this team.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to help this team. That means Shen's your third line center and you're still in a very good situation.
Right.
But he plays a type of game that's very hard on your body. We're seeing it with Shen. Shen had a heck of a season, but Shen plays beat up all the time.
Yeah. Supposedly him and his brother had like cracked ribs.
Cracked ribs. Every year you can plan for Shen to have a cracked rib just because he's a tank.
Yeah.
I personally am out on him. I'd rather go via trade route or some of the other options at center. But like a lot of people are saying, the Blues are going to be talking to him, and I don't blame them. If you are a GM that cares about your franchise, you're going to give him a call and you're going to see what it's like.
Yeah, because the way he plays.
And we may be looking at this and be like, yeah, he's going to hit the free agency market, and then he takes his hometown deal and stays in Florida and wants to go try to win another cup. So
why wouldn't you, dude?
it's one of these things where it's like, yes, players want to get paid, and I'm sure he does. But a couple years ago, he was terrible in Calgary.
Yeah.
So
it was basically like a steal for Florida.
So I get it. It would bring some benefit, but tomato, tomato. This will be the debate that we always talk about.
Yeah, it's one of those players where like people complain about Shen's contract. They would immediately start complaining about this Bennett contract in like 3 years. You can't win with a player like this.
Yeah.
They're going to be, half the fan base is going to absolutely adore him. Half of them is going to be like, why are we still paying this guy? So,
you're going to have to give, it's like the epitome of what Chandler Stephenson was last year.
Yeah.
Sam Bennett is a better player than Chandler Stephenson, yes, but he's going to get overpaid and you're going to be like, we just paid how much to this guy?
Yeah, Seattle, holy overpay for Stephenson, which I guess you do what you got to do to bring some culture into that place, because yeesh. Okay, this one I'm high on. Actually, the next few that we're going to mention, I'm pretty high on. Brock Besser, he's basically told the whole world that nothing's happening with the contract negotiation in Vancouver. So, really, really good right-handed shot, right winger, kills the Blues. How about just bring him in?
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to this. But it's not solving 25, the center 30, issue.
No, he's a goal scorer. He's a goal scorer, and we've gone through a lot of scenarios about how it would work if he was here. And Kyrou would probably be gone in some other trade for another deal, so he could play second line right wing with Holloway and whatever center we bring in that Kyrou trade. Or Bush is gone and he's playing on the top line with Snuggie and Thomas, which is a crazy line. You know, it would be something like that. I honestly don't think he would be too expensive, though, and that's kind of why I'm high on him, because he's a great player, really kind of like a down-to-earth player, plays a little grit, and can score a lot of goals. So, to me, he's like a $7.5 million hockey player in the St. Louis market. You'd basically just be paying less for a little bit less production than Kyrou in the regular season. I haven't really, I guess I can look, let's look at his playoff numbers real quick, because I don't know. But he is always been one of my favorites. I mean, we've been talking about Besser for years, dude.
Yeah,
I've been trying to get him in here for years. Let's see, playoffs. In 19-20, when he was 22, he had 11 points in 17 games. And then last year, he had 7 goals, 5 assists, 12 points for 12 games. So he was lighting it up with 20 minutes ice time. So, great player. And it's a shame that Vancouver's just falling apart at the seams, man.
And that's why I don't see him re-signing there with them being in disaster mode. You don't even know if Elias Pettersson's going to be on your team next year.
That team might be a complete overhaul. You never know. Okay, on to the next.
All right, Aaron Ekblad, another guy that we're very high on, and I think is a very realistic option. I know Doug's sitting there saying, I'm not going to look at defensemen. I should. if you have an option to sign a top 15 overall NHL draft pick, solid player, guy that is a right-handed defenseman who could pair perfect, in my opinion, with Broberg.
Yeah.
I think you have to bring him in.
Yes.
I think he's looking at probably $7.5 to $8 million.
I could see that.
If you could get him at a 6x6.5, I think that'd be ideal. He's 29, defenseman age better. He has struggled to play full seasons the last couple of years. So yeah. He played 56 games this year, at 3 goals, 30 assists, was a plus 11.
That was the suspension.
Yeah, the 20 games. The year before that was 51. He had 4 goals, 14 assists, was a plus 27, playing 20 minutes. The man can play 23 to his career average is 22.53, but I realistically think he is a very good option to bring into St. Louis, giving you the solidifies your top four. I think if you have that top four, I feel very confident in you going into the playoffs next year.
Yeah, it's definitely a way better top four just because he's on it. Super underrated, super under the radar. He was not just a top 15 pick, bud. He was the first overall pick for Florida. And
he was in 2014, man.
Yeah. It was a heck of a draft, too. And they were high on him, and he's been really good. He actually won the Calder that year.
He's coming off an 8-year deal at $7.5 million.
Yeah, I could see you giving him like a 5x7.
8?
5x8. Something like that. For the last kind of goodish years of his career, you know?
With what we have said about how hard it is to find a right-handed defenseman.
You got to overpay.
Yep. He's going to get overpaid. He's the epitome of like free agency defenseman signings, which could bite you in the butt. But that being said, we got to keep moving here. So
no, you're good. I actually wanted to make one more point. This only happens if Falk's gone.
Yeah, Falk has to be gone. Get that Letty. Six Letty and a half and Falk.
Gone. Yeah, they both have to be gone for you to be able to pay $8 million for this guy. So
you're unloading two players to be able to sign one, essentially.
Yeah, but he's Letty a better you. One. Oh, that, yeah, that's the thing.
Substantial.
So, okay, on to the next. The Rat, Brad Marchand.
Oh, please bring him in. I will pay him. We talked about this pre-show.
I don't care what anybody thinks. This guy is the perfect hockey player for the playoffs.
Yes.
We hate him. I still don't like him. But now that he's on Florida, I don't really mind him because he's playing with everybody else that plays like him. Mm-hmm. And when they play together, it's unbeatable. You put him on a team with Chen and, you know, whoever, Holloway's hitting, Bolduc's hitting. I mean, we're playing pretty gritty. And if he's playing like second line center or whatever, wing, you give him on a 2-year kind of like $5 million deal, like, wow, what a steal from free agency.
Yep.
He's a great playoff hockey player. He would really help the locker room out too. Like, he's just such a good person to have around the team, you know? People might think we're crazy and they might hate him, which we do too, man. But if he's on the team, it doesn't matter. He's the perfect player. I'm not sure like if it would truly be worth it at the end of the day, but you just can't help but think about how great it would be to have that type of player. So
I agree.
I don't know.
All right. I'm going to kind of jumble these next ones. 5 guys all into the same category to kind of bump it up. Okay.
Okay.
So all are centers with ability to play wings.
Yep.
Except Brock Nelson. So I'll read all of their names real quick. We'll kind of lump them together because I think this is a category of realistic options for the Blues.
Yeah.
Brock Nelson, Matt Duchene, Mikael Granlund, Ryan Donato, and Jonathan Drouin. All of these guys, in my opinion, can be second line centers for you. 2 of them, I think, are pushing it a little bit for what you could have as a second-line center, being Jonathan Drouin and Ryan Donato. But the other 3, I think, truly could be second-line centers that are viable options.
Yeah.
Brock Nelson is on the older age. He is coming off a decent season of 26 goals and 30 assists. Matt Duchene,
heck of
30 goals for 52 assists, 82 points. He's not going anywhere. He's going to stay in Dallas. It was just a long shot there.
We'll see.
Granlund, he is going to hit free agency, in my opinion, but he had 22 goals, 44 assists, 66 points. Donato, stud this year for a terrible Chicago team, 31 and 31.
Playing with Bedard, baby.
Yeah. And then Jonathan Drouin was just kind of a buffer piece who had an average season in Colorado. I think he probably re-signs in Colorado cheap.
Yeah. He gets hurt too much, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Donato, I think, is a sneaky one that you could get for a couple of years. He's already 30, which is crazy to think about. He looks like he's 10 years old. Yeah. I'd do like 2 or 3 years for Donato. I think I have it flip-flopped with Dallas. I think Duchene hits free agency, and I think Granlund stays. Because I think Granlin wants to play with his Finnish brothers.
That's true. And I think Duchesne's going to probably need to get paid.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Duchesne, I think, could maybe get 2 or 3 year deal at like a really, really overpriced price at this point for having 82 points at 30-something years old. So.
And that my trade-off, though, is he's another guy that I think loves his team so much that he's like, I'll take cheaper money to keep his team together.
Yeah, he loves it there. So we'll see. And then as for Brock Nelson, I don't know. I'm kind of iffy on him. I think he was really bad for Colorado in the playoffs. Like, yes, no-show. Complete no-show. Think maybe he just wasn't really ready to play that type of game, leaving the Islanders, which is just geriatric hockey. Mm-hmm. So it was a complete flip flop for him. So maybe if he comes to kind of the middle of the road type of team like the Blues, he might flourish and do another 60-point year. But I think he might be a little expensive. I don't know. That's like another 2 year deal. You know,
yeah,
most of these are bridge deals to fill the gap until you really go out and get somebody that you, that can fill for 8 years or whatever.
That or Dvorsky's ready to go by then.
Yeah, which who knows? We might have some things to say about that too. So,
yeah.
All right. I guess you could honestly lump this guy in there too, Jamie Benn. Is he staying in Dallas? Who knows? He makes a heck of a lot of money right now, and he's about to finally be a free agent. The perfect locker room hockey player, just like Brad Marchand.
Yes.
And he's good friends with Shen. So
good friends with Shen, and he's the epitome of what Steve Ott was to the, like, everyone hated Steve Ott.
Yeah.
And then Steve Ott came here, and he is the most loved, endeared player towards the end of his career and coach.
No coach, yeah. I could see Ben being that kind of the same timeline, you know.
He is coming to the end because statistically not great. Point-wise, he 16 goals, 33 assists, which whatever. But playoff-wise, stupid penalties, stupid decisions.
He's just trying to muck it up, you know.
Muck it up, but you're just like, come on, you gotta lead by example, and you're playing third, fourth line minutes now for a powerhouse Dallas team now.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird to see.
Yeah.
All right. Jack Roslovich for Carolina. He had 22 goals, 17 assists. He's 54% on the dot in 81 games this year. So,
I think this is a realistic option too.
It's a realistic option. Yeah, I mean, I think if he's playing with Kyrou and Holloway, I think he can do it.
I mean, yeah,
I think winning 54% of your faceoffs makes me so happy, and scoring 20 goals is good too. But I think he might just need to learn how to generate plays better. If that makes sense. Like, I don't think he's not really a playmaking guy.
He's not a driving center. He's a guy that isn't going to mess up much in your D zone. Isn't going to mess up crazy in your offensive zone.
Yeah. So he is kind of like another Shen, you know,
he is the epitome. He's that second, third tier kind of center.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, I think you can get him very reasonable. I think the max he's going to make is $5 million. I don't see him getting a deal more than $5 million.
Yeah.
And I think he'd be a solid third line forward once you get that true number two or some other options.
Yeah.
He's a guy, if you do sign, you probably do have the flexibility in your cap to acquire or sign something else.
Yeah.
So he's a guy that's a good filler. I think he's an upgrade from a Sonny, as much as I love Sundqvist. And I think he gives you some grit, and he's a big boy, and he can play that third line role for you, leaving Shen as a second line center. But you can at least play that third line a little bit more. And I think a Jake Roslovic with a Neighbors and a Bolduc would be a pretty solid line.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, defender here, Ivan Provorov. We talked about him when he was on the Flyers trying to get him.
Yeah.
I don't know if that probably wasn't on this podcast, but that was just previous years' his friendship. Heck of a player. I think he kind of flies under the radar as being one of the more elite left-handed defensemen, especially being in Columbus. But I don't know. I would like to think Columbus tries to get him back because he's a solid top pair, second pair kind of guy. And the Blues really don't need anyone like him. And it would kind of be an overpay. Now that we have Cam Fowler and we're thinking about extending Cam Fowler, like, I can't see us trying to get Provorov, even though I really, really like him. So we'll see. I think he's a Blue Jacket, though. Okay, we'll fly through these. Pius Suter, center for the Vancouver Canucks. I think he's another realistic option.
Realistic option, but truly a third line center.
Yes, another third line center. I'm going to look up his stats really quick. He had a breakout year this year. 25 goals, 21 assists, 81 games played. He was a +2. Doesn't take many penalties. And unfortunately, he had a bad faceoff year, 43%, which is brutal because he was at 50 last year. So
yeah,
he's 28 now, though. Swiss-born player, heck of a player, but definitely a third-line guy. You put this name on there, I don't think it's worth it.
No, I think he's an improvement from a Matthew Joseph and a Alex Texier.
Yeah.
And fits the style of play in which we play, in my opinion. That's the only reason he made this list.
Yeah, that's Brandon Tanev, for those listening. It's great third-line, fourth-line player.
Yeah.
Locker room guy. Overpaid.
Oh, yeah. It's like the third, fourth tier if you can get him in the bargain bin.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a great player, though. I love watching him play.
He's the epitome of the $5 DVDs at Walmart that you're just, you're like, just throwing your hand in the bin. Well, you know, baby. Why not?
Throwing your hand in the bin. You can go next. I'm not even sure who this is, to be honest.
Okay, so another defenseman. He plays in L.A. Vladislav Gavrikov.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. Like, played a solid season.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I think would give this team some more grit. I do believe he is a
left shot, 6'3", 220. He's 29 years old from Russia, obviously. He played all 82 games and had 30 points. He was a plus 26. I mean, LA's defense was so good this year. Stinky against the Oilers, though. Yeah, he had a breakout year and is at the age of 29 here. Played 23 minutes a night, blocked 140 shots.
So he's a stay-at-home defenseman.
Yeah.
And that's where can Broberg play his off-wing and you play Gavrikov with him, and then he's your stay-at-home guy, and that gives Broberg the ability to move up ice and play and be a puck mover. I think Gavrikov would be an upgrade from a Justin Falk, in my opinion. He's younger. Yeah. He's bigger.
Yeah.
He will clear the front of the net. And I think there's some decisions that LA has to do. But
yeah. All right.
I think it would be interesting.
I like it. I love all of LA's defense, basically. Yeah.
These last two I'm very interested to hear your takes on.
Okay. So Ryan Lindgren, he's a left shot as well. I'm looking at his stats. Not a point guy.
No.
More like a third pair guy, just on time on ice. He does block shots. He does lay some hits. He actually had, let's see, he had 128 blocks and 80 hits this year, so nice. He played about 20 minutes. Got traded to Colorado and was not very good. 3 points in 18 games, a minus one. Just meh. But he is serviceable for your last pair. I mean, if you really needed to kind of pick someone up to play on the bottom pair with a Tucker or Kessel, then sure. But he needs to. He can't get paid a lot.
No, that's the thing. He can't get paid. That's the biggest thing.
So I mean, I wouldn't be opposed. He's just not at all the person, I think. But he's definitely an okay player.
Yeah.
And then
this last guy is who I really want in the offseason.
Yeah, I
think
I know.
It's a realistic option that is third line material that would be great with Bold Duke and is a stud in the freaking playoffs.
Yeah, so it's Riley Smith. Now, in his prime, he was great for Vegas, man. 60-point, 50-point guy. Kind of like a career second-line winger, third-line winger. Kind of been around the map, too. Probably happy to be in Vegas, though. I don't know how I feel about him. I've always liked him. I just think that it's another player that you don't truly need unless you can get him for cheap after dumping who you need to dump. So, like, if Texier and Joseph are gone and you have the $4 or $5 million to give this guy a 2 year by $4.5 million or whatever, sure. Pick and then play him with Boldy and Sonny. That'd be great. Or Shen.
And,
or
and
whoever.
Here's the thing. Yeah, I was like, if you have an option next year where he's playing your third line wing with Shenner and Bold Duke, that's solid.
Yeah.
The reason I'm so high up on him is just this pure statistics from his stats of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So 117 games played in the playoffs. He has 29 goals, 54 assists, and is a plus 37.
That's actually crazy. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. Like, I think he's like when we talk about veteran guys that have been around the league and the Blues have done in the past. Yeah. Jason Arnott, Jamie Langenbrunner, Ryan Whitney. Like, you have a bunch of these guys that they brought into the tail ends of their careers. And Marty Havlat. Like, all these guys they brought in the back end just as stability for some depth and some leadership. And he can do that for you.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of Vegas's better playoff guys just in history, I think. Almost 100 playoff games with Vegas. He has 70 points.
Yeah.
Plus 25 for him.
And I mean, he played 11 games this year, 4 points. He was a plus one. He had 3 goals and an assist.
Yeah. I mean, he was still doing all right, but not enough for Vegas. They kind of were stinky. But I like him on a friendly deal. So I agree with you. Okay. Let's go to the restricted free agents. Now, this is kind of where the fun starts. I mean, we've already had a lot of fun. It's been an hour, but we're going to keep going, baby. So stick with us, please.
Stick with us. We will power through some of these RFAs. I think we realistically know who are guys that we would like.
Yeah.
But
some of these are just for fun. So I'll let you start, and then I'm just gonna pick one off the list that I think we can like go through fast, and then the last couple that I know that you and I have talked about that we probably could truly go for, we'll say last.
So. Yeah, I'll pick another guy that's just gonna be a quick one. So Luke Hughes, defenseman out of New Jersey.
That would be nuts.
It'd be nuts. He's not crazy amazing, but I think they're also in a team that's got to make some decisions on who they're gonna keep.
Yeah.
And I think he'd bring in some nice stability to a young team.
Yeah.
I think he is a left-handed defenseman, but he's only 21. So he's 6'2". He's 198 pounds. He's 21 years old. Did not have a crazy great season. I mean, per se, I guess you could say. But, I mean, he had 7 goals, 37 assists. He had 44 points.
It's pretty good for a 21-year-old.
Yeah, it was like 21 minutes a night. He does shoot the puck. But I think would be an interesting option of if you could pick him away from a New Jersey team that's got to make some big decisions.
Yeah.
But I think they'll do whatever it takes to keep the Hughes brothers together as they're trying to acquire the third one. So
that
was just a hypothetical what if be nice stability for this team.
Yeah. Well, I think this one is also kind of a hypothetical with Evan Bouchard because he's going to get paid.
Yeah.
He's having a heck of a playoff, dude. I still think he's a little bit of a liability on defense at times.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're doing what he's doing on the offensive end, it doesn't really matter right now. To offer sheet him away from Edmonton, if the Blues were to do it, Edmonton would forever hate us. I mean, they already hate us, but they would forever hate us. If someone's willing to do it just to make Edmonton mad again, I'd love to see it. It's just he's going to get $12 million. And Edmonton, they're going to have some decisions to make yet again to keep these superstars around.
Mm-hmm.
And they're lucky that he's on a friendly deal right now. So we'll see what happens. It would take a lot for them to not, you know, counter that and keep him. So, All right.
All right. Next guy, Keandre Miller from the Rangers. We've talked about him. We really like the idea of getting him. He is a left-handed shot defenseman. Did not have a great season there with the Rangers. I don't think he's going to command the amount of money that I think a lot of people are wanting. But he's a big boy, and I wonder if he just needs a change of scenery, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Much like a lot of young players, it seems like, from the Rangers who just need changes of scenery. Kaapo Kakko, I think he can go into that range where he just needs a change.
Yeah, Kakko looked great in Seattle this year.
Yeah, I could see another deal where Kadri may be traded. I don't know what's going to happen with the Rangers, but then again, Mike Sullivan may be able to rejuvenate this guy. I think it's hard to pass up on big boy defensemen like Kadri Miller.
Yeah, I'm looking at his stats. To be honest, he kind of turned it around. Like, he was still an even plus minus somehow, had 27 points in 74 games, which was only 3 less than last year. So
yeah.
He's still only 25, man. If he can figure out how to lower the giveaways, because he almost had 100 of them this year, which is horrible.
That's
then he can be a heck of a defenseman. So he had literally 63 more giveaways this year than last year. So, and 10 less takeaways. So he was just bad.
Mm-hmm.
In that aspect, but he ended up, the stat line other than that looks okay, so he kind of turned it around from the beginning of the year. I do like Keandre, he's huge. And I love I love massive defensemen. So he's a left shot though. So we'll see. Matthew Nyes. I love that he's on this list. He's the perfect hockey player through and through. He's a Florida Panther, in my opinion. Like, he's the perfect Florida Panther that's not playing for the Florida Panthers. If he was to get offer sheeted, Toronto would be so dumb not to keep him. He should be the captain of the team, in my opinion. So he's going to get paid in Toronto. I don't know how he feels about staying there. Like, I think he wants to stay there. I don't know about taking like a friendly deal if he has to, but we'll see. I love that kid. He's so good.
I agree. I think it'd be nice to steal him away, but I think he's going to be the trio that they're going to run with is going to be a Matthew Nyes and a Nylander.
Yeah. Yep.
My next guy, I love him. I've talked about him nonstop. Mike is probably annoyed at me talking about it, but a Fabian Zetterlund. He's coming off a season, 19 goals, 22 assists. He was traded to Ottawa from a San Jose team. I think it would be huge to get him. He plays 14, 15, 16 minutes a night. He's 25 years old. He's 5'11", 220 pounds, but he plays a big man's game. I've been a huge fan of him ever since he has bounced around the league. I liked him when he was in San Jose. He always was a thorn to play against. Interesting name. I think he'd be a youth guy that I think could fill in your bottom, your middle, I guess your middle six, really. He's a middle six kind of forward. But it's another winger in a very messy group of wingers.
Yeah, we have so many.
So many wingers. So just a name that I wanted to put out there is I really enjoy watching him play.
Okay. Which of these do you want to skip? I'm not really sure. Like, Marco Rossi, like, if we were to steal him away, that'd be hilarious. But I just don't think he's big enough.
No, he's tiny. I think we can skip over him. Yeah. I think that the guys that realistically we'll talk about here real quick that are realistic options that I would love to see. We'll throw the names out. We'll give you some stats on them. Noah Dobson.
Yeah.
Gabriel Vilardi. J.J.
Paterka
and Mason McTavish.
Yeah.
Those are four guys that instantly would make your team better, would be valuable members to the game, and would solve some issues. Noah Dobson's been a guy we've continued to talk about.
Yeah.
And I have his stats here, too.
Okay, go ahead.
So he played 71 games this year. He had 10 goals, 29 assists. He was a minus 16 on a very terrible Islanders team, playing 23-16 a night.
Yeah.
He's a right-handed shot defenseman. He's 6'4". He is 25 years old. He fits all these categories of what we could use on our team. There are some question marks about him. Can he be a top-end guy? He is going to get paid. That's the other thing. So do you want to pay him probably $6.5 to $7 million? Also, you're going to be needing to pay Broberg as well. So give and take. Realistically, you would need to move players out. That being said, Falk and Letty, to be able to afford him and still think about maintaining all your other players you're going to have to pay.
Yeah, that's kind of where the question mark comes in. And I think that's kind of why Army said he's okay with what he's got.
Yeah.
It's because he knows that he's trying to like save himself for next year so that he can make those extensions happen to really, really solidify Broberg and Holloway and all those guys.
And not put Steen in a terrible situation.
Yeah, Steener can't be left with junk, which he won't be. So, I told you Keandre Miller had a horrible season this year. Well, Dobson had a horrendous giveaway season. He had 46 more giveaways than last year. He had 108 of them. 108 giveaways. That is just, you can't do that. He does block a decent amount of shots. He's, in my opinion, he's definitely like your second line defender, but I don't think he's worth what he's going to get paid. The more I think about it. I think the Islanders should just keep him and overpay him.
Mm-hmm.
The next one. Build your team around him. Yeah. Who's next here? Who'd you mention? Paterka?
I got his stats here too.
Okay, go ahead.
So he played 77 games this year, at 27 goals, 41 assists. 34 penalty minutes. He averaged 18 minutes a night.
Yeah.
He is horrendous. He's a winger. I think he plays right wing more than center.
Yeah.
faceoff dot this year. He was 16.7%. So good.
He only took 12 faceoffs and lost 10 of them.
Yeah. So young player fits in that age core. He is 23 years old.
68 points at 23 years old.
Yeah. So
on a bad Buffalo team, though, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to gauge.
Yeah. So I think would be part of a package deal that we talked about, or some options for us. I think he would be help this team. I realistically don't think you can say a 23-year-old. He is epitomically like a Holloway.
Yeah.
2.0.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I don't think you get someone like that until, you know, you make a trade or something with Buffalo, which is fine. I guess we've already fleeced him once. Gabe Vilardi. Really, really good player. I think LA's trade with Winnipeg a couple years ago with involving, you know, Kempe and Vilardi and all that was so weird. He's 25 years old. He had 61 points in 71 games, and he wins 50% of his faceoffs.
Yeah.
Sneaky good player. I think you could offer sheet and steal from Winnipeg, who's going to like really struggle to find out who they should and shouldn't keep right now. So we'll see. He's been getting a lot better throughout the years. Like breakout season here. Now he's only 25, going to be 26. He could possibly be a really, really good second line center on like almost any team.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to offer sheet somebody, he's probably in the top one, two, or three, you know, to go after. Let's
Mason McTavish.
Yeah, let's do McTavish, and then we'll end with the last.
Okay, so Mason McTavish played 76 games this year. He did put up 22 goals, 30 assists, 52 points, and he finished even on the year. That being said, he was 50. He's 50% in the dot, pretty much. He's 50.7%. Would love him. He's only 22.
Yeah.
He is 6'1", 219 pounds from Zurich, Switzerland.
Yeah.
Sign me up, but I think Anaheim will match anything that 100%. Is thrown at him. He is 100%. The future center for them. He is going to be their number one guy. Trevor Zegras will more likely be traded this offseason, in my opinion.
You would hope so.
And he's going to be working with a Joel Quenneville, which I think, in my opinion, I think Mason McTavish is a Joel Quenneville-esque player. He's to me, is what Jonathan Toews was to him in Chicago.
Something like that. I could totally see
gritty leader, scores, assists, will go to the net, will fight everyone on the other team.
Yeah.
He may be the captain of the future, in my opinion, for this team.
You never know. That would be awesome to see. He's going to be so good for them. Not only was he 50%, he was 50% when he took nearly 1,000 faceoffs, which is unbelievable, man. So good. And he was a even plus minus on an Anaheim team that honestly shouldn't have been as good as they were. And good for him, man. Stays out of the box. And scores 20 a year. So if that's the guy you offer sheet, just get ready for Anaheim to overpay to keep him. So
Also, before we move on to the last guy, I forgot one other guy. He's in Columbus, a Dmitry Voronkov.
Okay.
He is a left wing. He is 6'5", 227 pounds, played 73 games this year, had 23 goals, 24 assists, and was a plus 17. He's only played two NHL seasons, so he's only getting better, in my opinion.
Yep.
But I also would like to see him here. I think he reminds me of a more skilled, W2F line, Torpchenko.
Yeah. Yeah. He's what Torpo should be.
Yeah.
He was actually really solid.
Yeah.
17 minutes a night, man. 47 points in 73 games, as you said. And the year before, he was taking faceoffs, and he was only 42%. Yeah, and then they threw him on the wing. So probably a smart idea. What's it with these Russians, man? He was a fourth round pick, and he's just going to be a real solid 20 goal scorer for his career now. Like,
hey, we have that guy that's over there that was a seventh round pick that's fighting everyone, man. I'm still
he's captain of the team.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, I don't care what people think. I think, first of all, Russia should be in the Olympics. Second of all, there's some of the best hockey players out there. Like, there's so many sneaky ones in the KHL and stuff in the minors over there. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with him. I think Columbus, that's another one team that should not let him get cheated. No way. Too big and too good. Too much potential. Okay, and then our last one is Morgan Geeky from Boston. Josh and I have we've talked about him for like a day straight. There's something about this guy that I like so much, dude. He had a breakout year. 57 points in 77 games. He had 33 goals. And he's only 26. He was 46% on the dot, which is okay. He was better in his first few years, so I don't know what happened there.
Let Steve Ott work with him, maybe.
Let Steve Ott and Robert Thomas, dude. Like, yeah. One thing I do want to mention is that he took 150 shots on goal. He was 22% to score, which is insane. That is so good. Yeah.
Which so that he
scores efficiently.
And that number will drop a little bit, but yeah, even if you're in like the 15-16% range, I think that would be... He's your epitome of a second line center for you.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're locking him up long term.
Yeah.
And he's not getting paid much at all.
No, he's still like on a little rookie bridge deal or something. You know what I mean?
And he was picked up in the expansion draft from Carolina to Seattle.
Seattle. Where he was not very good.
No, awful.
Then he went to Boston, and he really flourished this past year. It was really awesome to see. So
he just finished up a 2x2 deal. He was making $2 million last year.
Yeah, so he signed a 2-year contract with the Bruins after his contract with the Kraken had run out, and now Boston has to make a decision. They're stupid if they don't pay this kid. Stupid. He's going to be so good, and he might be like their future first line center for now, at least.
Yeah.
Because they're stinky. So, okay. Yeah. I mean, we've mentioned so much, guys. If you have questions or anything, just like email us. You can reply to our tweets or whatever. Like, we love the feedback, like, if a positive or negative, who cares? Just talk to us. Not many trades have been thrown out. We can get into it now. Like, we can always trade for the rights of the players we just mentioned,
which is
possible. You know, if you want us to talk, if you want to talk about it, Josh, we can. Like, I think trading for a geeky's rights or trading for anybody's, honestly, Zetterlin, like Vilardi, whatever. I think those are serviceable players that I would be willing to make a slight change to bring in their rights and extend. So
yeah, and I think that's how some of these deals are done.
Yeah,
I realistically think if you're going for a Noah Dobson, there's some form of a deal going back towards their way, so they're not losing out on everything.
Yeah.
Mason McTavish, I think, is a straight up deal to get him if you're doing that. And that's a high price. That's a guy that you're trading a Jordan Kyrou for.
Probably.
And that probably burns, and people are probably going to think I'm an idiot for that. But he is a premier center.
Yeah. He's going to be. For 15 more years.
Yeah, and he's only 22, 21. So you are losing the goal production, but you are getting a true center that you can
play. I don't know. He's a 20 goal scorer, but he wins a lot of faceoffs for Holloway to score goals. So
and that's the thing. So all these guys you're going to have to pay to get. No matter what we're doing, it's going to hurt a little bit as a Blues fan. You're going to have to pay to get some of these players.
True.
But jumping into our trade targets, I'm going to start right off the bat with a crazy one that we have talked about with a terrible Boston team. Is David Pastrnak made available?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not agreeing with you. I'm just saying could be.
Could be. I don't think
anything's off the table if it's for the right price. And if Boston really, truly wants to make a change here. Well, first of all, he's still got a lot of term left. At like 11.25, which is a steal. I'll let you throw out what your trade might be for something like David Pastrnak.
So for David Pastrnak, he is a perennial 40 goal scorer. He's a first line winger. He's a superstar. He would be the franchise superstar, in my opinion.
Yes.
And for a franchise superstar, you are going to have to pay a heavy price. Your beginning of your package is starting with a Jordan Kyrou.
Of course.
And people are like, that should be enough. No, that's not enough. So your foundation is Jordan Kyrou. You are going to also send a Bull Duke.
That's going to really make people mad.
Yep. A Bull Duke and or Neighbors, which we've talked.
Which
we don't really
won't want. Happen.
Which won't It'll, happen.
It would be Bull Duke.
So a Kyrou, a Bull Duke, and then realistically a first round pick.
Yes.
A prospect.
Yes.
And Letty. And or Kessel.
Or Falk.
They're not going to take Falk's money. True. So I think you're doing Kessel or Letty, and you're putting together essentially one. So a Kyrou, a Bull Duke, a first, a prospect, or a defenseman.
Yeah. And the way it's laid out, it's basically like two tiers above our O'Reilly trade.
Yeah.
Like we sent him Berglund, Sobotka, the prospect, Thompson, and a pick or two or whatever.
So essentially you're getting a Kyrou, which
this is kind of a little flipped where it's like we give you our superstar, a prospect, a veteran defenseman that's serviceable, and then a pick. So, and another prospect, I guess, technically. Yeah. It would be a lot.
You're going to have to pay crazy amounts to get this, but it's... To me, it is the superstar that puts you over the top.
Yeah, and it's all about weighing it out, right? Kyrou goes, Pasta comes in, that's a win. Now think about what else goes out. Bull Duke, who had a breakout year, you're going to have to sign him. Is it worth it to put him in that deal? Maybe. No. He might just be kind of, you know, your second, third line prospect guy. You know, he might not be a perennial goal scorer like a lot of people think. You never know. He's too young to know yet. He did break out this year, though, so I don't know. That's kind of like a negative, right? Yeah. But then you give away Letty. You're like, okay, good. That contract's off the books. And we don't need him anymore because we have Tucker or whatever. And then the pick is whatever. And the prospect, you never know, right? So, like, it could be an even trade technically. It could be a really bad trade technically. But Pasternak's going to score 40 goals a year. Every
and here's
year.
The thing. That
he's going to get
100
points.
One of your top 10, your top prospects.
Yeah.
And that
it's not going to be like somebody we don't know. It's going to be a Dzeko. It's going to be a Dvorsky. It's going to be
a Stonsel, a Stenberg, a Theo Lindstein.
Yeah.
It's your top echelon of prospects.
Yeah. I mean, we could be overpricing it too.
You never
know.
And that's the thing. But I think realistically, to convince a team, you're going to have to pay.
Yeah, of course, especially right now. So,
yeah.
And Boston needs everything. So,
yeah.
That would be crazy. I want to say I would totally take it because Pasternak's amazing, and he's so good. But losing what you're attached to is always hard, right?
Yeah.
That's why the Oshie trade stung, you know. So we'll see what happens, but. We made the splash in 19 to win the cup. You got to make a splash here, too, if you really want to do it.
You're just like reuniting Jimmy Montgomery with a player that I think he really meshes well with.
Yeah, so we'll see. Next on our list is Alex Tuck in Buffalo. This is a more reasonable one, right? Like, kind of older guy, but he's a big boy. He still scores goals. He's a great leader, I think, up in Buffalo. He got the short end of the stick getting traded there for the Eichel, for an Eichel, which is crazy to think about. But bringing him in would be really cool. I think he's a really, really good player, and I don't know I don't think it would cost that much because Buffalo is so silly. Like, I think it's a couple prospects and a pick.
You know, I think it's a Bull Duke, a Dzeko, and a middle tier pick.
Yeah. Third round pick, or it could even just be a Bull Duke and a first. You know, what I mean, it could be something like that. It's really up to what Buffalo wants or needs. I mean, I feel like they have so much young talent all the time, and they just never piece it together. Like, it's weird. And then they never let them develop long enough before they give them away and go win a cup somewhere else. Like, there's such a long list of players that they've done that to, and Tuck's kind of on the older end now, so I feel like they wouldn't be opposed to moving him and bringing in more young players to half develop and then give to a Stanley Cup winner. So
realistically, a lot of our deals do involve Buffalo because I think Buffalo has the people that are options.
Yeah.
So
you want to move on to the other Buffalo player on this list, or?
Yeah. So we can. So actually, I have him here. So okay. Ryan McLeod is the guy. There you go. He's not listed on our sheet. I had him here. I forgot to put him down.
Okay.
Ryan McLeod, 6'3". He's 188 pounds. He's a center. He's 25 years old. He put up 20 goals, 33 assists last year in 79 games. He was a plus 13 on an abysmal Buffalo team.
Yeah, that's wild.
He won 52.3% of his faceoffs. He is a career 50.3 faceoff guy. Yeah. I think that'd be the prime target for me. I think he falls into the debate of Ryan McLeod and Shane Pinto are your two targets for your centers. Shane Pinto being in Ottawa, Ryan McLeod being here. I don't know the price. The price is hard. It's so weird in this market because you're going to have to pay, but I don't know. He's still young. This was his best season. He's been more of a career, like, 10 to 12 goal scorer.
Yeah. I mean, it could have just been because he's top line minutes in Buffalo. You know what I mean? Like, but I think it's a telltale sign of the potential. And if he's playing with Holloway and Kyrou, then like, hello, he can easily do that again for years to come. So.
And here's the thing. Buffalo went out and got another defenseman or not another center at the trade deadline. Let's see, who was it? Cousins.
Totally forgot about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you still have Peyton Krebs, Lafferty, Ryan McLeod. Oh, they got Josh Norris, sorry.
Forgot about Norris. Yeah.
They went and got Josh Norris in that trade.
Yeah, because they traded whoever
Cousins.
To Ottawa.
They traded Cousins to Ottawa.
Which was on our radar for the Blues, because he's a heck of a player too, so.
And you still have Tage Thompson. So, like.
Yeah. I don't think Buffalo's opposed to, like.
Trading. No, if it's a hockey trade, they're going to be willing to do it.
Yeah.
And this is another team that if you get the right package in return, and I think you could talk about a package of a Ryan McLeod and one of their defensemen in either Bo Byram or Owen Powers, I'm willing to make a deal here.
Yeah, I agree.
They need, so the realistically, this team needs scoring wingers and goalie.
Yeah.
So, here's the thing. Do you want to trade Joel Hofer? My opinion, no. I think that hurts your team. Colton Ellis is a very serviceable option that I think could be an option. The other thing is if Zarankov is not leaving, I wonder if they would take a shot on a Zarankov.
They do love their foreign goaltenders.
They do. The Ukko-Pekka-Leinen.
Yeah, Ukko-Pekka-Leinen.
Ukko-Pekka-Leinen is a great option. I think Owen Power solves some defensive issues that you have. He has a left-handed shot, but he's 6'6". Or a Bowen Byram, who's going to be a stud puck-moving defenseman that can score.
Yeah.
I think Buffalo will be the team we're going to make another deal with.
Okay.
I think this is where I'm willing to look at a Kyrou or a Bolduc going their way.
If we're getting their top center in Owen Power or Byram, then just Kyrou and something small, sure, but I think
a McLeod, you could get a deal around a Bolduc and something from a McLeod.
Yeah, I don't even think they'd think about trying to get Kyrou from us.
No, the only way Kyrou is involved in a deal, like I'm saying, is if it's a McLeod.
You're taking their top pair defenseman and their top center.
And we're not even talking about Rasmus Dahlin, I wish would be available because I think he would be phenomenal here.
Oh my God. So good, dude.
But the other option is a Ryan McLeod and a Jacob Bedard-Docker, who's a right-handed defenseman that I think could slide in and play second pair.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you're sending Justin Falk or a Letty back their way.
Yeah. I think that's it's honestly doable. Buffalo's, like we've said, we've fleeced them once, but I don't know if they're silly enough to do it again. But
yeah.
I mean, if it's a good hockey trade, then sure.
I think you, and then if you want to take the last two kind of guys there.
Yeah, yeah. I'll briefly state Jared McCann. We've talked about him before.
We've talked about him before. Love him.
I would totally take him any day in the week and have him here as second line center. It might be a lot though, because he's a heck of a hockey player and he's kind of their guy up there. So, yeah. But these last two, you put Ryan O'Reilly on here. We talked about it though briefly. Yeah. Not opposed to it.
Yeah.
Why would you be? Conn Smythe winner helped bring the cup here.
He's fortunately
traded him away. He's only got like what, $4.5 million?
Yeah, $4.5 million for 2 or 3 years.
Still plays like first line minutes in Nashville and was great for them this year. And he's so good at face offs. So good. Yeah. We would have pretty much four lines of 50% or higher face off guys, which that means you don't have to throw guys out and then have them take a shift and come off the ice and throw someone out there. Like,
no, you don't have to put two centers in every defensive zone face off.
I mean, he would be taking like almost all of them. Besides, yeah. I guess Thomas is your guy, but it depends on the price. You mentioned that it would take at least a first round pick, and I'm like, okay. I mean, Barry Trotz is kind of out of his mind. He really made the splash to bring in these guys, and they stunk to high heaven, and now he says, I'll tear it down again. Like, he's wild.
Yeah.
I don't want to help Nashville at all, but I'd love to have Ryan O'Reilly back. And
yeah.
If it costs something reasonable, then sure. I mean, I would just give them a first round pick by itself.
Like, yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, it's
hard.
I think Barry's going to ask the world, but I think it's also going to ROR is going to have a little say in it. It's going to be a little bit of an awkward decision. You're bringing the former captain back. Shen's still your captain. I don't know how that's all going to go down.
I don't think O'Reilly cares about that.
It'd be a very nice option, but I don't know him on a second line or a third line. I think he's going to be a third line center. I still leave Shen on your second. I think ROR is your third or second line.
Yeah, I mean, either way,
Bull Duke and a Neighbors or a Bull Duke and a Dvorsky playing wing,
something like that.
It'd be nice.
Yeah, I love Ryan O'Reilly, and I'm sure everyone else does. So if the price is right, sure. Yeah. And then this last one we kind of mentioned as well. And
this
I know
is
a
the
lot
guy
of people.
That I would love.
Yeah, I brought it up to you. I saw a tweet about it from, I think it's like Sam Analytics. I think I mentioned them last time. Anyways, shout out Sam. Bo Horvat from the Islanders. He's still got a heck of a lot of term left. It's like 6 years left at like $8 million. He's already 30. But you know what? He has not like downgraded his play at all.
No.
He's gotten better.
Like, yeah.
And he wins. I mean, he has to be near 60% on his faceoffs last time I mentioned it. Or last time I saw. So let's see.
Yeah, and shout out NHL Gateway, who's
also that's
the
another
one that
one.
Brought it up.
Yeah, he was 58% on faceoffs this year, which is so good. He laid 100 hits.
In
57 points in 81 games. He doesn't get hurt. He's about to be 30. If he comes here and he's centering Kyrou and Holloway, he's going to have 70 points, I bet. And I'm willing to do that and pay him that much for six more years.
Six at 8.5.
If it's, or maybe Islanders take $1 million or something. You know what I mean? I think.
Yeah,
if you want to do it now, and you're willing to trade a little bit to try and win right now, which Army, I don't know if he's willing to do it. I think he kind of wants to ride it a little bit longer and then do it. But Bo Horvat's the guy, dude. He's so good. He's an international stud for Canada. He's been a stud for Vancouver and now the Islanders. Like, I can't see how this would be a negative besides his age.
Yeah.
He wins so many face-offs, dude. Smart hockey player, stud hockey player, hated him in Vancouver. Let's bring him in.
Yeah, and so NHL Gateway has us offering a Nick Leddy, a Yuri Pekarchik, which I do not want to trade Yuri Pekarchik at all. Adam Dzeko also hurts for me to trade him in a first-round pick.
Yeah, in my opinion, I don't even know if that's enough.
Yeah, so
I feel like you need to give them an NHL ready winger or something.
I think a Bull Duke. I think Bull Duke is the guy.
Besides
he's gonna be a 30 goal scorer. Paul Dukas.
If he goes there.
So a first round pick, Nick Leddy, Bolduc,
and then a Dzeko or a Pekarčík or whatever.
Yeah. I think I might be willing to trade Otto Stenberg in this regard.
I don't know enough about Stenberg. All I know of is people are a little high on him, so I don't want
to
say.
I'm very high on him, but I think I'm willing to take Jurij Pekarčík out.
Really?
And put a Leddy, Stenberg, Bolduc in a first.
And then the Islanders retain.
Yeah.
Like $2 million or something to help us out.
And if they're willing, I think they're going to say no to retaining. And I think at that point, maybe you can get.
Then you just kind of say no overall.
You might be able to get out given a first. You might be able to give a third next year if you do a Bolduc and a Leddy.
Yeah. I don't know. That's up to the new GM in New York to tell us. But it's going to be a heck of an offseason, Josh. We've talked for an hour and a half. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm glad if you guys are stuck with us. Thank you. If you haven't, just tell us we suck or whatever and tell us what you guys want to do, man. We want to know what Blues fans think about some of these names, because I feel like everyone's just like, oh, we need a second line center and defenseman. We agree.
And everyone's saying we need Sam Bennett. There are other options out there than Sam Bennett, and that's what we're trying to say here.
Cheaper, produce more. But the grit, the people mm-hmm. just see him playing the way he is right now in Florida, and that's what really attracts him, right? Like,
and that's the thing. If you don't get a Sam Bennett and you get a different center that we've talked about, this a lot of our options, per se, a Donato or a Roslovic or a Granlund or a Pia Suter or some of these other guys, give you the cap flexibility to go get a Brad Marchand or a Jamie Benn or an older guy that can give you the grit. And I think that's what we're saying here, is that you can make multiple moves on that second tier, third tier, which is what Doug Armstrong is known for doing.
Yeah, and I think it really is.
We're not coming back with the same roster. And if you are sitting here thinking we're coming back with the same roster, you didn't listen to the end of the season press conference. We have to get 5% better. And that means guys are not going to be back and tough decisions are going to be made.
Yeah, 5% better means we need a player that's literally 5% better. If you bring back the same team, you're just not doing what Armstrong said he was going to do. And he never does that. Yep. He always does what he says he's going to do. So we'll see. I'm really excited to see if we steal one of these really big names, like throw some crazy stuff out there. But I mean, genuinely, I don't think it's going to be anything that crazy. It's going to be a Pia Suter and a vet. Something
a
like that.
Suter and a vet, or
it's
going to
be. We didn't even mention Dante Fabbroe.
No,
right-handed defenseman that I think is the guy. Like, yep. Go get him. Once Falk is gone, you can pay this guy $4 or $5 million and just bring him in, play with yep. Broberg for a few years. Like, so anyways,
realistic option is that you're going to probably be doing a trade to get a center. There's probably valuable options out there in that second tier group, third tier group.
Yeah.
But that being said, you never know what Doug's going to do. We can sit here all day and throw names out, and Doug will then pick a player that we didn't even talk about and
exactly.
Somehow we'll get him.
Somehow we had Brandon Saad signed a few years ago. I was like, No way. I was so excited.
I just think the cards are a little bit better for us this year with a Jimmy Montgomery, who players seem to love, a group of players that are very vocal about being a family and like mm-hmm. turning around careers.
Yeah.
And I think that right there, and like Cam Fowler, I think is the poster child right now of the Blues organization of, I wasn't sure, but I came here and I refound my career.
Yeah.
And now I never want to leave this place.
Pretty much. Yeah. I can't wait until the team comes together and we compete again, man. Like, 19 was special, but I think this team can be special for a long time if it's built right, and it needs just a couple things and we can do it. So, to those replying to our tweet about the Blake hit, shout out to you guys. Thanks for the engagement. Love it. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff. Watch us on YouTube. Listen to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate all of you guys across the board. Thanks for the sponsorship. Josh, I appreciate you taking the long time today to chat. And if y'all have stayed for an hour and 40 minutes, we appreciate you too. We're sorry, but we're not sorry. It was a good episode, man. I hope you guys comment and let us know what you guys think.
And as always,
let's go Blues, buddy.
All right.
Love you.
Peace out, y'all.